Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got an outstanding show coming up for you today, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Fantabulous Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, which we have Brother Nick on here in a little while, I think, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifelines Counseling Services, which is the Veterans 211 hotline.
And, of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors, and you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. Remember, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. And you can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. You can also check us out on Facebook, a lot of good information there. And if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired shows are up on most of the major podcasting sites, and Tom's Tirade is up via podcast to listen on demand at castbox.net. We got a packed show coming up for you today. Later on SBN, we'll hear from the executive director of the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, General Janet Cobb. She will get us up to speed on the latest happenings at the battleship. Lots going on over there. We'll also speak with Mr. Bill Atkinson from the Veterans Memorial Recovery Team. You may remember that we introduced you to Bill and the team a few weeks ago. Well, he's here with an update on their efforts and some obstacles that they may have encountered along the way. And Tom's tirade on Do You Have a Mask? I'm almost scared.
Almost. You better be.
But
I might be in jail next week. But bring
oh,
it
goodness.
On.
I'll be right next to you then.
Bring it on.
There you go. But speaking of bringing it on, it's a privilege to be joined on SBN by Mr. Nick DiMario from Ed's Seafood Shed. Nick, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt. Thank you for all that you do for our veterans, our military, and our first responders.
Well, Cal, Tom, I hate to disappoint you, but it's Panini Pete on the line, baby.
Oh, that the ugly one.
Yeah, you fell out of the frying pan straight into the fire.
I know it, man. You know, put more wood on the fire. Dang. Well, let me look. Tell me about this gumbo party you're going to start over the edge.
Man, I tell you what, we're getting geared up in the hopes for somewhat of a football season here, man. And sports are coming up, and you know everybody likes to do tailgating, and we got your tailgates covered, baby. Gumbo, we got hush puppies, coleslaw, po' boy kits. Ready, we're ready to go.
Awesome, that's great. Well, you
know, bushwhackers.
Yeah, oh yeah, man, bushwhackers. Can you carry those out in a 5-gallon bucket or what?
Yeah, you know, you can now. Yeah. It's a seal, as long as it's a sealed bucket.
Oh, well, we put some Teflon or something over it and put some polyethylene and put some rubber band around it or something. It'd be sealed.
I know you put a mask on it.
As long as you're wearing a mask, Tom.
Oh, yeah, we'd put a damn mask on it. That's what we do. Yeah. Well, now, look, we've been talking about the oyster bar here. Now, I understand it's going to be a couple of weeks before that's finalized.
Yeah, well, we'll start messing around with it. We got a little bit of technical difficulties with a cooler. We got the sneeze guard up there, so we're COVID safe. The oysters are going to be shucked. The view is great. We're really excited about breaking out some good cold Gulf seafood, chilled oysters, chilled like ceviche and shrimp. And just, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a show place. Okay. Nick told me you're going to shuck oysters two nights a week there, right?
Why not? You know, according to what y'all paying and how many free drinks you get.
Oh, no.
I might have to get some of those metal gloves.
Yeah, Marines, we can't let Marines drink for free. That's a losing proposition.
Oh, man, no. You know, I wouldn't drink but one or two.
Gallons.
Yeah, gallons. Man,
but it does. The oyster bar looks great. If you haven't been into Ed's lately, you know, come check it out. The deck is awesome. The views have been fantastic. The food is so delicious. The best fried shrimp you can get anywhere, man. And just the staff is amazing. It's really come together. You know, we're getting ready. We're coming up on almost 3 years there celebrating Ed since we took it over.
Well, now, let me tell you something else. I'm hearing a little underground current about. What's the deal about a shrimp boil offered once a week?
Man, you know, we're gearing up. We just, the stuff, you know, in restaurants, it's funny. Sometimes you get hungry and you just cook yourself things, you know, and the staff, we have little family meals and we celebrate these fun things. And sometimes you do some stuff and it's so much fun. You say, man, we got to share this with the guests. So we've been playing around. You know, Nick gets back there and starts cooking. He likes to keep me fat and sassy. He cooks stuff and makes me eat it. And we're talking about doing a nice shrimp boil down there. We got the corn, you know, the southern boil, just like we do with the potatoes, the corn, the sausage.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Nice shell on Alabama shrimp. Woo!
Oh, there you go. There you go. Yeah, that's real seafood there now.
Yeah, buddy. All right. I mean, that's where you can really just belly up and eat and eat and keep eating.
There you go. Well, you know, and then when we get ugly and we need to be prepped up a little bit, I guess we could go over to Bobtown proper.
Yeah, baby, come and get proper. Yeah. I saw you in there, Tom. You've been in there twice already, huh?
I believe I have.
I can't tell if you needed a haircut or you just like to see Melissa.
Well, let's don't get nosy now.
Oh, sorry. Wait, we're not live, are we?
Oh, hell yeah, we are. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm messing around. Cal, keep him in line, will you?
Hey, they don't wait, baby. They don't make, they don't make that many damn change.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said they don't make that many change to keep me straight now.
That's right.
Yep.
But Mobtown's been doing fantastic. We appreciate the support. We got a great little cut shop down there, you know, men's, women's, barber and salon, cuts and color, and just a fun, funky place. We had a great write-up on AL.com this week. And
wow, that was an awesome write-up. It was in the newspaper.
It's pretty neat. And you get a free gumbo card from Ed's when you get your hair cut.
There you go. Get that free gumbo card. But look, I noticed you got that. You bought that lot across the street now, so you got good parking and all over there, so you don't have to worry about parking.
Yeah, it's kind of been a mud bowl lately, but other than that, it's okay.
Well, you know, some of us might have four-wheel drive.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, we got plenty of parking. You can go online, mobtown.com, and book an appointment or call Melissa, and we'll get you taken care of. We'll get you looking proper, baby.
Give us that phone number, man.
What's that?
Give us that phone number. You got it in your head?
Son of a gun. I had it in my head. I think I forgot it.
Oh, you're that kind of guy. I'll find it.
Man, I'm getting old, man.
Getting. What's this getting stuff?
I am. I'm getting old, Tom. Let me look. Let me Google it real quick.
Google it, man. Google it.
Let me Google it. You ready? It's 690-8855.
690-8855.
Or go to mobtownproper.com.
All right. Thank you, Pete. You guys
appreciate y'all, man.
Yeah, you guys doing a great job. Appreciate you too, buddy.
Thanks, guys. See you, Cal.
All right.
Hey, on the other side of the break, General Janet Cobb from the USS Alabama Memorial Park when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Hit a lick against what's wrong, or say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. Hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN, and it is an honor to be joined on SBN by the Executive Director of the Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, General Janet Cobb. General, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, and for yours as well, Cal. And Tom, good to talk to both of you tonight.
How has the COVID-19 been treating the Battleship Park over there, General? How's it been working for you?
Well, we've got visitors. We've got a lot of visitors coming in, Tom. And yet, in June, we were down about 51% from a year ago. But we've had great numbers on the weekend, and the weekly numbers are strong too. The drive market shows people are driving in anywhere from 7 to 8 hours, and they're going to places they know. So we're seeing plenty of folks. It's just, you know, being shut down for as long as we were was just really a killer for us. But we're okay, holding our own.
Well, one of the things that I've talked to some of the local people about is the fact that during the downtime that you had over there, y'all didn't actually lay anybody off. You were actually went to work and started cleaning up the area.
We did. We did a tremendous amount of deferred maintenance on the ship, on the submarine, and the aircraft pavilion. So our folks were busy, and they just really got after it. Got a lot of stuff done.
Well, I think even the planes were y'all were able to get to them and get them clean. Now, I just think it's awesome that you were able to do that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, anxious for people to come out. We have the B-25 out there, of course, very proud of that World War II hero. And Mike Thompson, our aircraft exhibits manager, is changing the configuration back to that Doolittle look, that open glass nose. He's working on that right now. Then we'll repaint her, put her back in the aircraft pavilion, and build an exhibit around her. So just some great restoration work being done on our B-25 out there right now.
That is awesome. That is awesome. You know, I was just at a funeral or wake tonight for one of our ABC warriors that went into Nagasaki, a Marine went into Nagasaki like 15, 16 days after the big boy dropped in there.
Yeah.
And he made it to, what, like 94, so it's just unbelievable that he was able to go in and suffer with, and Cal's dad actually passed here a couple months ago, and he was there at that time as well.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Go ahead.
It's unbelievable, but the amount of radiation and all that these guys took upon themselves and their bodies. I mean, cause we didn't know, you know. The services didn't know. We didn't know what the dangers were.
Certainly not. In Alabama, of course, you know, the battleships had Marine detachments, in those days, and the Marine detachment went ashore, one of the very first to do the initial occupation duty, even in the days before the final surrender papers were signed.
Right.
So they Alabama, seagoing Marines were right there, right on shore, probably with him as well.
Played a big part. It played a big part in that phase of the war. But you got a big deal going this weekend. Your Living History crew drill.
We do. It's back. It's time for Living History crew. We'll have our Yak Attack, the aircraft. Our heroes that are pilots, volunteers that fly out of the Irvington area will come in, bring their aircraft in, and act like they're attacking the Alabama. And the Living History crew reenactors aboard Drum, submarine Drum, and aboard Alabama will be prepared for that. They'll do some reenactment all weekend, and we ask everybody to be on deck around 1 o'clock Saturday for that action to start. They'll do some damage control and some other deck drills before the aircraft come in and the shooting starts. It's very exciting, but I'd get there about an hour early so you can get parked to get in. We're routing people through the pavilion now. That's our ticket thing, COVID-19. We've got restrictions on the number of people we can have in the ticket office. So we've got a new entrance to the park. You actually come in through the pavilion and buy your tickets there now. So it's working. The people are wearing their masks. They're social distancing. And we're not having any issues. I mean, I don't think people are very happy about it, but this is serious stuff. So right. People will be there. Just ask everybody to be patient with the crowd and come enjoy yourself.
The type of weapons that will be fired from the ship and the both the battleship and the drum, are those 50 calibers or what? Are bigger?
They're not, Tom. The three on the starboard side are the 20 millimeter. They're Orlikon machine guns, and then the Bofors, the 40 millimeter double guns we have one. Three of those are retrofitted, the 20 millimeters with propane for sound, and one of the 40 millimeters too. So that's
awesome.
You know, that is a big sound, a cacophony of sound, as they say, when those aircraft are coming in, and it's pretty realistic. People get excited by that.
And you'll actually see the fire come from the weapons. Barrels.
Well, I don't know about that. Now, I'm no propane expert, but the sound is good.
No, it sounds good. Makes good sound anyway.
Hey, Tom, I know you're a Marine, but as a soldier, I never got in front of a weapon.
Well, you know, we had them over us, around us, under us, and everywhere else. So
you got that right. Yeah. Just stay out of the front of it.
There you go. Yeah, just.
I hear you, brother.
It's kind of like those T-shirts. Now I said, if you heard the sound of my rifle, I wasn't aiming at you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, all that being said, now, and one of the things that I was working into is the fact that y'all have just totally rebuilt and refurbished not only the battleship in so many areas, but the pavilion and all, that I think it's important for our locals to go back and participate and bring their kids in, and everybody's getting a little bit older, and they will really be excited about the attractions that you have now.
You're so right. We had so many people over the last few years come back in after a lot of the restoration work that we've done down below and in the submarine and the pavilion and go, I came here as a kid, but I can't believe what I'm seeing now. So it's just, it is really phenomenal. The life below deck, when you've got the people go, you've got a soda fountain, you know, the geedunk stand, and there's a barber shop, and you've restored the galley, the bakery, you've restored the vegetable prep room, the butcher shop, the tailor shop. I mean, there's just so much. The blacksmith shop, the chapel has just been completely redone. It's just simply amazing because, you know, the Alabama had a print shop. They had two newspapers. They had a photography lab. They had two bands. There's just so much to the life of the sailors aboard that you learn when you go through the ship now, and the submarine as well.
Well, they had their own city there, you know.
Absolutely.
And they had to provide all of these things for them because they were out and gone. I mean, it was like their own city. They had to live.
That's right.
Yeah. But now, a lot of that has just been opened up, though. A lot of that hasn't been opened for a long period of time.
Well, some of it's been closed while we did the restoration, and most of it was there. It was just something you would walk by, and it was in its probably original but cleaned-up condition, maybe some paint slapped on it. But our curators have gone through. What they're doing over the years is replicating the Navy paint schemes from the Navy documents, from the ship schematics. All the paint is correct, not only to the color, but to the shade based on the Navy specs, because we can still get that paint mixed.
That is awesome.
Everything, the where the walls need to be silver, where the bulkheads are silver, the overhead, where they need to be white, where they need to be green, where the decks need to be green or whatever. It's all historically accurate, and we work on that every day.
That is just so awesome. Well, how about your mid-year appeal? Isn't it underway as well?
It is. Every year, about the middle of the summer, we ask people to make donations for restoration purposes. That money goes to help keep Alabama World War II submarine hero, earn 9 battle stars, and Submarine Drum, the recipient of 12 battle stars for her action in the combat in the South Pacific. All that money goes toward restoration, and we have had a good, successful summer. And just to remind people, our sister attraction in North Alabama is doing an appeal now, U.S. Space and Rocket Center, their space camp. They may have to close in October if they don't raise $1.5 million. Ooh. You know, and when I say we're doing okay, we're getting by, we are. But right, it just tells right. you how important it is. Yes. Our visitors are so wonderful. Sure. And it's those visitors, because we're a state agency, but we don't get any money from the state or the federal government to operate. So when our visitors come in and pay to park and they pay to tour, that keeps us open.
Right.
Space
right.
and Rocket Center is such a fabulous tourist attraction. So many NASA astronauts, people in that industry have come out of the Space Camp program. We just hope that all of the tourist attractions around the state will get support from people that are traveling and from local people as well.
Where can we get some more information if we need it?
Give us a call at 433-2703. Check us out on our website, ussalabama.com, and social media.
General, we're very appreciative of you being on board tonight and appreciate the job that you're doing over there. And again, we appreciate your service.
All right. Same to you, Tom, Cal. Take care, Marines.
Veterans Memorial Recovery Team. When we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Soldier since I was 19, and I still haven't learned how to wait for it. I wanted a mission for my sins. They gave me one.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, Voice of the Veterans. For the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. Hey, you can check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
And we certainly want to thank the folks that helped make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline's Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And it is a pleasure to be joined on SBN by Mr. Bill Atkinson with the Veterans Memorial Recovery Team. Bill, thank you again for joining us, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
Bill, you on board with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Wonder what our sound is. You don't have a radio in the background, do you, Bill?
No, sir.
Okay.
That sounds kind of weird.
Yeah, it does. I don't know what we got going on here. An engineer is checking the thing now, trying to figure it out. But one of the things that we'd like to do is bring back you to enlighten us a little bit more about the Veterans Memorial Recovery Team, which is a 501c3 tax-exempt nonprofit organization. And you received that in June. And we were talking about your mission, and that is to show respect to our military veterans by identifying, documenting, and preserving the memory of all these fine heroes and from all branches of service. Now, all that being said, you're working now on the Oaklawn Cemetery, which is on 1850 Holt Road. How is that going?
Slow.
Slow?
Very slow.
Well, I guess, is the rain getting involved with you now?
The rain and the warm weather, yeah. The grass and weeds, love it. And since the pandemic hit, we've not had as much support from the the folks outside who are coming
right,
in. And we had the cemetery fairly well under control there for a while, and then the people quit coming out, and the weeds kept on growing.
Right, right.
So well, it's kind of like, you're back up three or four steps and run across,
yeah,
and hit the wall and bounce off. And,
yeah. Yeah. Two steps forward and three steps back, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, will they let you use chemicals or anything on those weeds or anything? What's your specs on that?
We're trying to keep away from putting chemicals out. It just, There's several of them out there that the families have used, probably Roundup or something similar. Put a little bit around the edge of the grave, the slab and the headstone.
Right.
And pretty soon it's spread out and there's dead stuff, 3 or 4 feet out. And it looks ugly.
Looks bad, huh?
It looks bad. We're trying to stay away from chemicals. Just cut it.
There you go. Well, yeah, but, and then all the trouble that you're going through and the fact that, the cemetery dates back to the 1870s.
Yes, sir.
And how many veterans have y'all located out there so far? And how many do you think there's there?
When we started on this, there was a couple of people that supposedly knew. They said they thought there was maybe 10,000 graves out there.
Woo!
We've covered about half of the cemetery, and we've documented something over 8,000 graves, almost 800 veterans.
Good gracious.
8,000.
So it's at least 10% of the graves out there are veterans.
Yes, sir.
And I guess that covers all of our wars?
Yes, sir. Everything from World War I forward. We've not located anything older than World War I yet.
Right.
There may be some, but
that would
found them.
Yeah, that would include Korea and Vietnam, Desert Storm, and all the above. I mean,
yes,
that's
sir.
And now, all that being said, and if anybody needs a pat on the back, it would be you and your crew that's working out there on what you're trying to do. But now I understand that you are running into another problem with people dumping garbage out there.
Yes, sir.
What? And I mean, do we need to buy some hunting cameras or something, or trail cameras and put out there or something?
That might help.
You know?
Well, when we first went in the cemetery 3 years ago, it was really pitiful. I mean, there were bags of trash and tires and, just whatever you can think of. People just walked out in the cemetery and threw their stuff down.
That is so damn disrespectful.
And there's been two or three vehicles that's been taken out in the cemetery and burned.
God.
I guess they were stolen or something.
Golly. Or stripped or whatever. Yeah.
It's not just a little bit of litter here and there. Somebody drop a paper cup or something like that. I mean, these are big bags of trash.
This is
household
like,
trash.
They're like truckloads or trailer loads of trash.
Yes, sir.
Damn. I mean, how pitiful can it get?
It's pathetic.
Mm-mm.
And even now, we've getting things pretty well cleaned up out there, and just a couple of weeks ago, we found some new bags of trash have been dropped out there.
Do you have ways of securing that facility with a fence and a gate or something? Where do you stand with that?
We've got there's three entrances to the cemetery. One of them has got a cable across it. It's kind of off on the side. And the main entrance is on Tote Road, just off of Euchre Street,
right,
kind of behind the True Vine Baptist Church. The other entrance is down off of Cemetery Lane, which runs up alongside the Catholic Cemetery. Now, on that entrance there, we've got a gate.
Okay.
We have a brand new gate out there that we're going to be locking. We've notified the funeral homes, in case any of them got to go through that gate, we'll come unlock it for them.
Right, okay.
But most of the time, that gate's going to be locked, and we hope that's going to discourage some of it.
Unbelievable.
You got to go way down yonder to find that other entrance and come back in here and drop your trash and go back out yonder, and it's just going to... We're hoping
But if nothing else, maybe we've got some hunters out there that might not be using their trail cameras here for a little while. Maybe we could stash some of those around and see if we couldn't get some tag numbers or pictures of people that are doing that.
Yes, we've talked about doing that. We just haven't got to it yet.
Is that another thing being said, I guess this is legal. I don't know what the legal ramifications of that would be, but hell, we got cameras everywhere any damn way, so I don't see why that wouldn't be legal.
The city put a camera up on the power line pole right outside near that Cemetery Lane entrance.
Right.
But I don't know if anybody's ever checked that camera. It's one of them that you've got to come out and pull a card out of it and put it on the computer.
Yeah, Okay.
So, you know, I don't know how often they're doing that.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we need to contact the city and see if they couldn't do something else with some kind of monitor, a camera that could be monitored all the time or something. They put the cameras like that everywhere else. So,
yes, it would be nice if they would.
Yeah. Well, how can our people that are interested in helping you guys get in touch with you and what are you have some Facebook presence and websites and phone numbers?
Yeah, we've got Facebook, Veterans Memorial Recovery Team. Our official photographer, Fran, she's put that together.
Awesome job.
Yes, sir. And that's the only, unless you call one of us.
Right, right. Well, and we appreciate all the stuff that you're doing, but it would be best for them to go to the Facebook and look up that your veterans recovery team there.
Right. There's a link to a PayPal account.
Okay.
If you want to, you can go to the bank and give them the money and tell them who it is, and they'll put it in our account.
There you go. There you go.
Commonwealth National Bank.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, that's General's on that board over there, I think.
Yes, sir.
General Cooper. Yeah. Bill, pleasure having you on board again, and I appreciate what you and all your fine friends are doing, and Fran's doing an awesome job on keeping everything straight over there. I know you need it. But
yep.
All right. Well, have a blessed one, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
All right. Although I am a member of the generation that was born into the Great Depression and have seen my share of turmoil in this nation, I am never shy about my love of this republic and that for which it stands. You may also know that, although that makes me a bit long in the tooth, I am still kicking and growling with a full head of hair that the king himself would envy.
When Elvis was young, he was a bad motherfucker, boy. Elvis was bad. He was vicious and shit. Sing his ass off. He sang so good, they let him do movies. He couldn't act.
They said, "Fuck it, let him sing all his dialogue."
They did. Everything Elvis said, he said, "Elvis, we got to win this race.
We got to win this race."
"Elvis, want some lemonade?"
"Lemonade.
That cool, refreshing drink."
As an SBN guest once observed, I am not going to die anytime soon since I am good breeding stock. But seriously, all of this makes me a prime candidate to succumb to the
Hong Kong Pooey, quicker than the human eye. He's got style, a groovy style, and a pop that just won't stop.
However, those of you that really know me know that I am 6 foot tall, actually a little more, and bulletproof. And I have all my shots. And my doctor says that I have no need for testosterone shots. That was supposed to be a different promo. Oops. Anyway, aside from that, personal ad there, I have found this whole pandemic lockdown a bit much and have attempted to keep my busy social schedule going. I mean, come on. I got places to go and people to see. I got beeps, whatever that means. And I have been practicing social distancing for years. If I don't want you near me, I'll let you know and then just stay the fuck away from me. And so it might come as no surprise to most of you that I have continued to move and shake and keep the Scuttlebutt Network going for our veterans and military during this time of government-imposed panic-demic. So I am happy to announce that I have had my first official encounter with a certifiable masked Nazi. Yep, that is right. The old Top Cat, the genteel Southerner, well-covered provider of TLC for so many in need, could come face-to-face with a new face. Well, actually, I couldn't see their face because of the damn mask. So I guess it's just the mask of control in our communities. That's right, the enforcer of the mask. So here is how it played out. Having spent a few minutes running the roads, I was headed back to the palatial TLC pad, but needed to stop to grab some grub from the local Rouses to, as the Cajuns say, make some groceries. Only needed a couple of items. I jumped out of the Claxton Mobile and headed toward the air-conditioned goodness of the awful Oasis. Along the way, I grabbed a cart, one of those, you know, double-deckers, kind of mini carts that are so cool out of one of the cart corrals in the parking lot, thinking that I was helping out the poor Rouse's cart grabber in a small way. Of course, in an abundance of precaution, I did not touch the handles in order to be careful. I grabbed it from the front grate of the cage, an area that most don't touch, according to the experts. I happily and quickly dragged it up to the doors, only to discover about three-quarters of the way there that I had, oh my God, I had left my vehicle without placing a mask upon it. Tribute to jawlines such as George Clooney and John Wayne, which is my face. It took me about a half a second to realize that in this heat, I was not walking back to the Claxton Mobile to retrieve my cloth version of a gas mask that we have been told we must wear in public. Unless you are protesting, rioting, looting, stealing, being the mayor of New York City, being the governor of New York, or beating the shit out of a police officer. Therefore, I proceeded to march into the Rouse's with my cart and took my time cleansing it. And my hands in the foyer with the sanitation tools that they have generously provided since the beginning of this insanity. I even rubbed a little bit of the hand sanitizer behind my ears for the ladies.
We got it together, didn't we? We've definitely got our thing together, don't we, baby? Isn't that nice? I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, isn't it really, really nice?
Nothing like a little Purell 5.0 to get them going. I then walked myself and my cart, now pushing it by its purified handles. Then we get a hallelujah sound effect behind that. Through the sliding doors into the gloriously air-conditioned, low-humidity vastness of a grocery store that has its roots literally on the bayous of Houma, Louisiana. As I made my way, very cautiously, into the aisles, all the while knowing exactly what I wanted and where it was located, I was confronted with a plethora of once-free citizens stumbling through the aisles, a mask in compliance with unlawful executive dictates as they tried to do the most basic of necessities, put food on the table to their family and loved ones. Having no fear that I could, as a former race car driver, figure out how to navigate this, I cautiously maneuvered my double-decker grocery depository towards my destination, only to have to slow my pace in order to maintain my social distance from the sheeple in the aisles. As I slowed at one point, I heard a faint call of, "Sir," in the distance. Nobody don't call me sir. Not thinking anything of it, I continued my cautious sortie to grab some groceries, pausing to keep my distance, lest the ignorance of those around me rub off. "Sir," I heard again, this time closer and more strident. I quickly glanced over my shoulder to find a local rent-a-cop, taking a bead on the top cat. Hardly believing what was happening, I paused as Buford T. Justicina made her way well within what could be considered my personal space, much less the 6 feet recommendation that is plastered all over the damn floors, along with one-way and do not enter signs found on many large retailers in order to show that they are down with the struggle against the Rona. "Sir, do you have a mask?" The masked crusader bleated, almost in shock. "Well, no. I only have to pick up a couple of things, and I know exactly where they are, and I'm trying to stay 6 feet from others until you came over. I promise I will be in and out," I replied. "But, sir," she cried, "you have to have a mask." Not deterred, I promised that I would be in and out quickly. "No good. You have to have a mask." Getting a bit peeved at this point, I asked her if she was really going to kick me out of the store if I did not have a mask. "But you have to have a mask." Fine. I took my shirt, pulled it up over my mouth and nose and said, "There, I have my face covered." Not good enough for cop ratchet. But my manager said, "You have to have a mask," which, of course, is not what the unlawful edict actually says. Poor Ratchet just wasn't having a good day because I happened to be good friends with the manager who happened to be standing a few feet away. "That manager," I asked, headed that way with my cart, Ratchet in tow. I quickly exchanged pleasantries with my friend and asked him if the shirt pulled up over my face and suffocating me would suffice to spend my hard-earned money in his store. Smiling, he said, "Of course not, yeah." I thanked him, and as I headed towards my goal, I glanced over my shoulder at the crestfallen cop with a casual, "No hard feelings." As I made the turn down the aisle, I could almost feel the deflation in Justicina's voice as she realized that she was, alas, just an empty suit giving importance for a day by browbeating free people with an unlawful government order. Unfortunately, as I mentioned, there was no shortage of sheeple wandering the store with masks on their face, either feeling proud because they, as we have been told, quote, wearing is caring, are feeling cowed because they don't have the balls to stand up and remain free. Regardless, the fact is that the government, through edict, can force us to wear a mask with questionable results. Then what can they not force us to do? Just think about it. We need to reassess the statement that our founding fathers adhered to, which is, I will not comply. It is the ultimate in freedom to be able to choose for yourself what you will wear, where you will go, and with whom you will assemble, and for what reason. The choice is yours, but has repercussions for future generations. As for me, I would rather die on my feet with no mask on my face than die on my knees along the bastards of social justice. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. You pissed off yet? Good.
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Well, there you go again, Tom.
Hey, there's a couple of cop cars out front. Reckon I ought to go out or run out the back door.
Yeah, they're waiting for you, huh?
Oh, well, you know, they ain't going to get no damn cherry.
There you go. Sometimes the truth hurts. And, yep. You know, it's just the state of affairs that we find ourselves in. And it's a choice you got to make, you know. But as you said, it will have repercussions for future generations. But great job there, Tom. I want to thank everybody for joining us. That's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. We thank you for joining us. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
All right.